Can you hear me? If I lay it down, can you hear me? I got to hold it? I don't know about you folks, but when I'm driving throughout wherever I go, you know something, what I always notice, there's always graveyards. You can say, man, is this guy on one today or what? There's graveyards. It is appointed on man once to die, then the judgment. Every one of us, should Jesus tarry, will be in a graveyard. But you know, that isn't why I said it, but it's true anyway. But I said it because when I drive by, I'm wondering, is this going to be the day that Jesus is coming? Because, you know, I was looking in Scripture here, if I didn't lose my place, which I probably did. But when Jesus was resurrected, the graves opened up and the dead came out. And when Jesus comes back in the rapture, the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
And we may, I don't know if I'll be driving by a graveyard at that time, but it's going to be fascinating because some, not all of those graves will open up and people will go to be with the Lord. They'll beat us by a moment's second, a millimeter second, whatever it's going to be. But that graveyards are going to open again. Once again, there's going to be resurrection power through every graveyard upon this earth. And I believe it because Jesus said it. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. I'm going to read the text today. If you have your Bibles with you, I suppose I could say if you have your cell phones with you too, but. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and then that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto his present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all was seen of me, also as one of born of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. But if there be no resurrection. And then I'm going to go to verse 15 here. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, so to be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this Resurrection Sunday, the day of the year where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you're going to hear me say that word resurrection quite a few times this morning before I'm done. I'm not going to mention anything about Easter eggs and Easter rabbits, for they have nothing to do with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In reality, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power behind the resurrection is something that should be celebrated every day in our life as Christian people, not just today. When we meet here on Sunday or Wednesdays or whenever we meet, or on prayer night or wherever it is, we rejoice in the fact that we're serving a resurrected Christ. Amen. It isn't just today. We're excited about today, but I'm excited about tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, all the way till Jesus comes, because he's alive. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. As we ponder that implication, think about that. It should cause us to leap for joy because the power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of all of us. The Holy Spirit lives within the born-again Christian, the blood-bought born-again Christian. The Holy Spirit lives within us, the same one that Jesus arose from the dead with. Hallelujah. See, the reality and doctrine of the resurrection is the most important doctrine in Christianity. The enemy doesn't want us to preach on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The word, listen to this. In fact, the Apostle Paul, again in verse 17, says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Without the resurrection, our faith is futile. It's futile. That word futile is translated from the Greek word matios. Matios, and it literally means to no purpose. Without the resurrection, our meeting here this morning would have no purpose whatsoever. Without the resurrection, there's no hope of heaven because we're all still guilty of sin. If Christ had not risen from the grave, you and I would be condemned to hell and there would be nothing we could do about it. And even though the Pope just recently said there's no hell and all bad souls just disappear, I'm going to see if we can get him a Bible. He evidently hasn't read the one he's got, whatever that is. Without the resurrection, Christ's death was an absolute waste of time. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sins. There's no healing of our bodies. And there's no eternity in heaven. Understanding that Christ rose physically from the grave is of utmost importance to you and I as Christian people. It carries a special meaning for Pentecostals because our identity is in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And our priority is the Great Commission. God has called each and every one of us to go out and preach the Word of God to a lost world. To go forth and make disciples of all nations. He's called us to do that. Amen? Amen. Are you doing it?
Amen.
All right. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. If Christ had not risen from the grave, there would be no promised Holy Spirit, and the Great Commission becomes a waste of time, energy, and resources. Mistakenly, people say that everything hinges on the death of Jesus Christ. But that is only half of this thing called redemption. I'm here today to say that everything hinges on resurrection. It hinges on the resurrection. Because without it, the death of Jesus accomplishes nothing. If he hadn't risen from the dead, it accomplished absolutely nothing. There are four questions that I think we need to be answered regarding the resurrection. When did the resurrection happen? Why is the resurrection necessary? Is there proof to substantiate the resurrection? How did Jesus come back to life? First, when did the resurrection happen? And this is the easiest of the question to answer, and though it may seem elementary to us, it's important. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Now, this is written in the context of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the resurrection, and immediately it says that it's the gospel that he preached to them, and it is the gospel in which they have taken their stand. He continues in verse 2 by saying, "Which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." See, belief in the resurrection is necessary for salvation. It's necessary. Whenever I pray with anyone to receive Jesus Christ, that's part of my prayer with them is that they believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. Vitally important when you're ministering to people. Because there are people out there that say it did not happen, which means absolutely nothing anyway. I believe the Word of God. In our passage in verse 2, Paul tells them they are saved if they hold firmly to the word he preached to them. So belief in the resurrection is key. If they didn't believe it, their belief is in vain. What's the purpose? Verse 3 and 4 answers for us the first question. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So his resurrection occurred on the third day. It's important to realize this, because if he had been raised on the second day or fourth day, he would have not fulfilled Scripture. He had to do it on the third day. Now, there's people out there today who say, you can't trust this Bible, it's written by man. You know, some of it's true, some of it. No, that's a lie out of the pits of hell. Every jot and tittle in this book is true and accurate 100%. I haven't met one person or heard one person yet that could justify any of their objections to this Bible in any way when they bring them up. They can all be answered. That's the devil working through people, trying to discourage people that the Word of God is worthless. And I tell you what, this is a living Word, and it's powerful. It's powerful. It'll reach in the depth of your soul and change you for eternity. It's all there. Nothing's missing. And it shouldn't be tampered with or changed. That fires me up. See, he continues in verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached. It's important to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Belief in the resurrection is necessary for salvation. I want to say that again. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not simply an acknowledgement of the death of Jesus. It's also an acknowledgement of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In our passage in verse 2, Paul tells them they're saved if they hold firmly to the word he preached to them. If they hold firmly to that. So belief in the resurrection, again, is key. He was raised back to life, and again, it was on the third day. Why is resurrection necessary? There are several reasons why the resurrection is necessary, and you have the first one, it's the fulfillment of Scripture. The resurrection of Jesus is predicted in the Old Testament. It says in Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You know, some try to tell us cults that Jesus only arose spiritually. No, he arose physically, bodily, physically. He arose from the grave. And this is the reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:11 says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Just think, by what he did on the cross, he declared us not guilty. In verse 4 of our passage again, in that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the resurrection was necessary to be fulfilled in Scripture. And then secondly, the forgiveness of sins. Have a look at 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If he had not been raised from the dead. You see, it all hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of it. If Jesus just died and was buried and then nothing else happened, we would still be guilty of our sins and we would all be on our way to hell, no matter what the Pope says again. Jesus spoke of it many times. That's how important the resurrection secures the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. He took our sins upon him and died in a place of us enduring the penalty of those sins. And you know, we take that for granted many times. And we need to sit there and read the Scripture and realize what Jesus had gone through for you and I. For the sins that you and I have committed, he's the one that paid the price. And the Jesus that you see on the crosses, even on television, even on the ones that we showed here where they're not so fun to look at, are still nothing. He was without form hanging on the cross. He was so beaten and torn apart. You could see the organs with inside his body and the blood come running down. His head was 10 times larger than the normal size of a man. He was so monstrous looking because he had the weight of the world, the sins of the world he took upon himself. And no artist can even make a picture of this Jesus that hung on the cross. And he did it for you and I. If you're sitting in here this morning and you have not repented of your sin, you have sin in your life. Jesus paid that price so you wouldn't have to. Hallelujah. Glory. 3 days later, he rises again, and his word tells us that we're risen with him in a new life, completely guiltless because of what he did on Calvary's cross. If we're saved, we have the assurance of Christ's forgiveness in our lives, and we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. All possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He did not stop. He went all the way and he hung on that cross and died and was buried. It has to be both of those. Without the resurrection, the death would mean absolutely nothing. But because of the resurrection, we are victorious as Christ won the victory over sin and death. And then there's the hope that we have. We need the hope, people. We're in a dark world today, and there's many people that have absolutely no hope in their life. And if you're in here again and you're a born-again, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled Christian, you got hope. And that hope needs to be shared with a dying world out there because they're hopeless without Jesus, as you and I once were. But I've got hope. I've got hope. Look at verse 19 again. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are almost miserable. There are many atheists out there who believe there's no God and that there's no heaven or hell. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't believe there's such a thing as an atheist personally, because Scripture tells me God has written his law within our hearts, and they know deep down inside of them that there is a living God, that there is a creator. That's foolishness to be talking about. There is no God. That's another sermon. I'll stop right there. If Christ had not risen from the grave, the atheists would be correct, wouldn't they? They'd be correct. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than anyone else. Why? Because the resurrection substantiates Christ's claim. That's why the resurrection is so important and needs to be preached and spoken of. In fact, you and I need to remind ourselves every day of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he's alive. He is risen. See, why? Because the resurrection, again, he claimed to be the Son of God, and the resurrection proves it. He claimed then that he would forgive our sins, and the resurrection made that possible. He claimed that we would be in heaven with him someday, and the resurrection made that possible. He claimed that he would come again and receive the church unto himself in an event we call the rapture. The resurrection made that possible as well, and he is coming. He is coming. Hallelujah. If Christ had not risen, then he is not the Son of God. He would not be able to forgive our sins, and there would be no hope of heaven for us, and there would be no rapture. We would be like the cow in a barnyard. But people, I tell you, he arose from the grave. He arose from the grave. You see why the resurrection is so important? It's vitally important to you and I as believers. A lot of people say Christianity is just another world religion like Buddhism, Hinduism, Sikhism, and Islam. They all claim to possess the truth, every single one of them. What makes Christianity true and the rest of them false? That's the great question, and the answer is so simple, isn't it? If anyone asks you the question, you can give it to them in 5 words. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what makes you and I different from every other religion within the world, is that we can proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. None of the others can do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why Christianity is true. If you go to the tomb of Buddha, you will find that his remains are still there, people. They're still there. You can go to the tomb of Hare Krishna, and you'll find that his remains are still there also. They're all there. You can go to the tomb of the people who started Sikhism. They are all still in their graves. And if you go to the tomb of Muhammad, he is still in his grave. They're all dead and dust, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. You can go to his tomb, and he is not there. He's not there. Hallelujah. If you go to the tomb of Jesus, that tomb is empty because he physically rose from the dead. He's not there. He's risen, he's reigning, and he's victorious. That's the Jesus that you and I serve. Hallelujah. That's why Christianity is the truth, and because Jesus Christ rose again. I always like the world when they say, well, what makes you so different than any other world? They all claim they got the truth. What did I say?
Rose from the dead.
Amen. He arose from the dead, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And by the way, just so you know, Christianity is not religion. It's a relationship with the risen Lord.
Amen.
It's a personal relationship, and we need that relationship in order to make it to heaven. And Jesus made that possible through the cross.
Yes.
Next, the effectiveness of our preaching. Look at verse 14. It says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. What would I even be doing up here? I'd feel like an idiot. That's why I can't believe these other religions. When these characters get up there and they preach their religion, they look like idiots because they're preaching to nothing. They can't promise anything. They can't guarantee anything. It's all dead religion. And that's why the world's in the shape it's at. But because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Amen. I know this sounds redundant, but if Christ had not risen, our faith is useless, and you might as well fire me. Because if Christ had not risen from the grave, my preaching is useless. You're paying for nothing. Every sermon you hear from this pulpit or from others only become effective and helpful when preached because Christ Jesus has risen from the grave. He's risen from the grave. We preach because Christ rose from the grave. Here is a Pentecostal priority. How many in here are Pentecostal this morning? I am. My hand went up first. I always get to beat you guys. Identify with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being Christ's witnesses. If Christ had not risen from the grave, the Great Commission is useless also. Our preaching is useless. Our witness is useless. So we looked at when the resurrection took place and why it had to happen. And this is the third question. Is there proof to substantiate the resurrection? Is there proof? I hear that when I go out and I've witnessed to people. Well, you can't prove it. Okay. Well, I tell you what. Our passage in 1 Corinthians 15 that I read through answers the question to a certain degree. But to get more complete, I need to give you some more passages. So can we hang with me for just a few more minutes?
Amen.
I'm excited. We'll get through this. I can guarantee it. I don't know when, but we'll get through it. See, the proof of the resurrection lies in how many people Jesus appeared, how many testified to seeing Jesus alive after his death. He appeared, first of all, to Mary Magdalene. It says in Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So he appears to her first. If you read the rest of that passage, she goes on immediately to the apostles and tells them they didn't believe her. Second, he appeared to two women in Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 through 7. And I'm not going to read it. You can read that. The two women going to the tomb. There was an earthquake, and the angel of the Lord appeared and rolled back the stone, and then that angel sat upon that stone. Of course, the ladies were afraid, and the angel told them not to be afraid because Jesus is risen. Matthew 28:8-9 says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. I love those two women because they went there with joy. How many of us need to be going to the cross with joy, realizing we're coming before a resurrection Christ? You know, we got to get our chins out of those stovepipes, man, and get them back up and get smiles on our faces and realize our Lord is risen from the dead. He's alive. No matter what's going on in your and my life, we can go to the cross and rejoice because he's coming back. He's going to take care of us. Hallelujah. Third, he appeared to Simon Peter, as our text mentioned in verse 5. And then we go to substantiate that, Luke 24:34, saying the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, another witness. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Fourthly, he appeared unto two disciples on the road to Emmaus. I won't take time to read that whole passage, but you can. It's found in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 31. You can read that at your time. They didn't recognize Jesus at first when you read through there. They invited him to stay with them. When they sat down to eat, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and began to give to them. And it says in Luke chapter 24, 31, and their eyes were open. Boom. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. There's that supernatural Jesus that we live for. Fifthly, he appeared to all the apostles except Thomas. Who was Thomas in Scripture? He was the doubter. How many doubters do we have today? How many doubters do we have? John chapter 20, verse 19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut. See, Jesus had to come through that door. They were shut. Yeah. There's another supernatural occurrence there of our Lord. Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The resurrected Christ appeared to all 12 of them. John 20, verse 20 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Sixthly, he appeared to all 12 disciples, as our text says in verse 5 again. To substantiate that, in John chapter 20, verses 26, it says, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas is with them this time. Yes. Mr. Doughty Boy was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, peace be unto you. Though the doors being shut, Jesus came and stood among them. Seventh, he appeared to the disciples again on the Sea of Tiberias. John chapter 21, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. People were seeing Jesus after he was resurrected, folks. Listen to this. Eighth, he appeared to the apostles again in Galilee. Matthew 28, 16, 17 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Ninth, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, meaning dead. See, apparently there was a gathering of 500 followers of Christ that were there, and he appeared to all of them at the same time. Over 500 witnesses saw Jesus Christ. They didn't see Buddha. They didn't see Muhammad or Hare Krishna. They saw Jesus. He's the only one that arose out of the grave. Did I tell you that?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Tenth, according to our passage, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. 11th, he made another appearance to all of the apostles, according to verse 7 again, then all of the apostles. See, this is substantiated in Acts 1, which you can read for yourselves, which is the account of the ascension of Christ to the right hand of God the Father, only after he promised to give them the power to be his witnesses. Finally, according to verse 8 of our passage, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. See, Jesus appeared to the apostle Paul also. Yes. on the road to Damascus, and you can read about that again in Acts 9. See, there's a vast amount of proof for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A vast amount. By at least 515 people witnessed Jesus Christ after his resurrection, we read in Scripture. That's a lot of witnesses. You know, usually they ask for two or three. Jesus had 515. How did Jesus come back to life? See, to answer this question is very simple. The power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus back to life. Romans 8:11 says, "But if this Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." The Holy Spirit. See, it was the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Who's here this morning, by the way? Jesus said to his apostles in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power." You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What kind of power? Dunamis power. That's power that can recreate itself. That's how powerful it is. And that same power, Jesus said, ye receive the Holy Ghost. When we become born again, the Holy Ghost who raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. We take that so much for granted, we overlook that we got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost in us. We got the Holy Ghost. We can go preach the gospel. We can lay hands on the sick and they all will be healed. We can lay hands on the dead and they will come back to life. We need to see more of that in the world that we live today. I don't know where it went wrong, but the Holy Ghost is still here and he lives in the born-again, blood-bought Christian. We need to be walking in the Holy Ghost, people. We need to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be walking in the malls, in the places, in the businesses, and we need to be finding out who's sick and who needs salvation, who needs deliverance. And we see somebody dying at work, we need to lay hands on them if you're a blood-bought Christian, because you got the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. Whew. Whew. What kind of power? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The very same one, the Holy Spirit. When we become born again. But until we can learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, did you hear that? Till we learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we will never know the power that Christ was talking about. We won't. And sad to say, many Christians don't today. That's why many of us walk around and we still sin and we still doubt and we do a lot of things in our life and we're missing what God has got for us, and he's here all the time through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is all we need to do is call upon him and God moves through us as our faith goes into action and the Holy Spirit begins to move through us. We need not be discouraged. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, 120 people were baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." All of a sudden, these people were energized by the resurrection power of Jesus within a moment's time. And that's why if you miss church on Sundays, whether you come here or go somewhere else regular, I tell you what, be careful, because I'm expecting. I'm believing. One day you're going to miss it. Because I tell you what, I'm believing God to turn the power up. That's his Holy Spirit power. I'm believing for it. And you need to come every Sunday realizing this could be the Sunday. You might be the one the Holy Ghost may work through to begin a revival or a move of God within this body and within your home and within your job. You don't know. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All of a sudden, these people were energized with resurrection power. They were transformed forever. That's why they were able to witness with absolutely no fear. That's why they endured the persecution they went through. That's why signs and wonders followed them wherever they went. That's why they were able to save the lost, heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead back to life. Because they had resurrection power moving through them. The same power that's here today in you and I. We need that resurrection power. Not being ashamed, but standing boldly for the cause of Christ. And I tell you, they're all around you, whether you believe it or not. They're ready to hear if you want to say something. Holy Spirit is with you. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. See, that's the way God wants us to live. He truly does. The mandate given to the apostle is the same for you and I today. They were to go into all the world preaching the truth of Jesus Christ, teaching them to obey his commands. Involved in what is mentioned here in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, which says, "And these signs shall follow them which believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." See, if we don't see those things happen, we're not operating in resurrection power, people, like the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. If you're not seeing those things happening in your life, you're not operating in the Holy Spirit, that resurrection power. And we should be. I want to say this, though. Don't go drink deadly poison and pick up snakes. That isn't what it means. Even though there's... That's not what Jesus is saying there. What he's saying is that signs and wonders must follow those who believe. Drive out demons, speak in tongues, heal the sick, and raise the dead. That's a normal Christian. That's what a normal Christian is. A Christian so on fire. We talked to a young man last night. We got excited. His name was Isaac. He's just a young guy. We got so excited because I looked at a generation. And I said, you can get disappointed sometimes, but I tell you what, God's got an army. And this young man, he got me excited again. He's ready. He's ready. I don't know if he even come today. He said he was coming. Anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Colossians 1:27. Listen to this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In you, the hope of glory. Let's all stand. I could keep on going on, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Resurrection power, he's alive. With every head bowed in here this morning, I just want to ask you a question. Jesus said, and I believe it's important to speak this out because some people just want to always believe that they're going to heaven because Jesus died on the cross. But see, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said you need to turn from your sin in order to receive that gift of salvation. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous. No, not one. Not one person is righteous. And the wages of sin is death, eternal death, separation from this loving God who arose from the dead. And if anyone thinks they can bypass that and take a shortcut, you won't find it in the Bible. You'll only listen to your own desire and lust and not realize that God's got a way to it, and it's through the cross. Amen? Is there anybody in here this morning say, Pastor, I've never made a commitment to this resurrected Christ before. Are you in here this morning and say, I'd love to give my life to Jesus right now? Just raise your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just raise it up. Just raise it up. I did. I raised my hand when I was 21 years old to this Jesus. I was a sinner, lost, and I knew that I needed to repent. I knew that I needed a redeemer. And he... The Lord, one day, people, and I like to say this because it is the truth, every time you hear a plea for salvation, every time you hear it and you reject it, your heart will become hardened. It will become hardened. And it'll be easier every time you go to a service like this where there's a plea for salvation, and it'll be easier for you to turn it down because you've been doing it, going and going and going, from a loving God who died up on a cross. So I want to ask one more time, is there anyone in here? Just to make sure. Just to make sure. It's always good to do that. Is there anybody who would like to receive Jesus this morning? We see that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there any Christians in here that you haven't been living the way you should? You've been living in habitual sin, and you know it, and the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart. And that sin will damn your soul to an eternal hell unless it's repented of. I got to be straightforward and honest with you, because Jesus warned us, but he also loved us, and he still loves us, and he gave us the cross that he died on. Is there anybody before we pray? I'm going to ask you that put your hands up, if just to come and stand and face the wall here. Just stand in front of me. We want to pray with you. Everybody that Jesus called, he called publicly.
Yes.
Amen? If you're ashamed of Jesus, he said, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. I'm not ashamed of Jesus, whether in here or if I'm in the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else before we begin to pray? Hallelujah. I'm gonna pray, and I want everybody to pray with me when we pray. I'm going to pray, and if the prayer doesn't save you, it's what your heart says. If you receive what you're saying to the Lord and you're going to live that out, that's where salvation begins to move through you. Amen? You got to live it. So we're going to pray right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus, I come to you a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of the sins in my life, of every sin that I've committed from when I was born to where I stand here at this moment. I ask that the blood of Jesus wash me from all those sins and come into my heart. I believe that Jesus came and died and rose again in order to give me salvation. And right now, Lord Jesus, I receive that gift of salvation. Holy Spirit, come and live within me and move through me in Jesus' name. And Lord, I believe right now that I am born again, and I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We got two new sisters in Christ here. Two new sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm so thrilled for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then I want to just visit with her, with both them for just a second before they leave, but we want to pray and thank God for today. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We thank you for Jesus, for your resurrection power, Father. We thank you for Jesus who came out of the grave and is alive today and is coming back again. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit conviction will move through this congregation, not only today, but throughout their week, Lord. Continue to convict our hearts to draw close to you and to always to be aware that you are coming back again. And Lord, I pray you touch each home. Lord, bless them. Financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, but most of all, Lord, let them draw close to you. Because when we do, you said you draw close to us. Lord, help us to be fired up in our soul to go into the world to tell others about this resurrected Christ Jesus who lives within our hearts. And we praise you and we thank you. And Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus and thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Tell somebody Jesus is alive.
Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne, crowned you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. Wash me in your blood.